All right, at this time, we're going to have some Habakkuk reflection sharing. But before we do that, let's read our three key verses from the book of Habakkuk. So let me share those on the screen. Okay, so let's read these three key verses that we had from our Habakkuk study. So let's read these together. First from Habakkuk 1:2. Let's begin. How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? And from Habakkuk 2:4. But the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. And Habakkuk 3:18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Okay, thank you. So now we'll have our reflection sharing, beginning with Sue Paul, and then Peter Park, Ruth Kelly, Dong Jin, Matthew Kim, and Greg Lewis. So if you shares, if you could also just turn your camera on if you have one while you're sharing, as well. We'd like to see you. Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Sue.
All right. Well, happy Mother's Day to all the ladies, and especially to Katie Pellen, her first official one. She was just waiting for Abigail last year. And Missionary Maria Hong, who probably is our only great grandmother. So this is Habakkuk. I really appreciated Pastor Russell's outline of chapters 1 through 3 to help us understand. He listed it as problems, perspective, and praise, or trial, trust, and triumph. The first chapter covers Habakkuk's questions to God. Why is there evil in the world? Why do the wicked seem to be thriving or winning? Why aren't my prayers answered? We see the connection right away between Habakkuk and us. So many people could doubt God when they dwell on these same kind of concerns. But we need to look up and remember and see beyond our own understanding and trust God. This is what Habakkuk resolves to do. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. We too must wait and watch in order to see the deeper work of God among us, especially in these disruptive times. The main point I received in chapter one was that as we cry out in prayer, we are expressing our trust in God. Whether we receive answers or direction or not, it is the fact that we turn to God and pray, holding on to his word and promises. This demonstrates our faith and trust in him to others and brings us his peace, which passes all understanding, Philippians 4:7. We can also hold fast to Jesus' final promise to his disciples that he will be with them and with us to the very end of the age. Chapter 2 shows us how to watch and wait and respond to God's revelation, even when God's answers don't align with our own human ideas or desires. I have heard it said if we complain about anything, we are telling God he really doesn't know everything or is doing everything right. Perhaps we know better than he does. But this message gave us direction instead to wake up and take stock of ourselves, because people always seek to worship something, and there is only one worthy of worship. We are to desire to be God's righteous people who live by our faithfulness. The main point I received here was to be silent before our holy God and wait for his revelation. The last 2 months being in solitary confinement has given Jim and me more quiet time to be in God's word and in God's presence. We weren't upset to hear that we had to extend our time out from the world through May. In chapter 3, Habakkuk shows us how he rose above seeing the intense suffering that awaited his nation due to God's impending wrath and punishment. He saw a time when all things they took for granted would be gone. There was no way to move forward or avoid it. There would be no going back to normal. For hundreds of thousands of people, this is what they have had to face during the pandemic. I read about a girl, the youngest of five in her family, who contracted the COVID-19 virus. Her mother stayed with her and nursed her through it. She was a self-sacrificing hero, a good mom. But she then caught the virus and died from it. This young girl's life has changed forever. How can she move forward? This is where we see the amazing gift Habakkuk gave us. He wrote for his people, but it is still timeless direction for every generation, especially in trying times. Habakkuk reviewed the past, seeing God's being with his people and fighting for them in very specific and innovative ways. Therefore, he decided to live in a specific way, waiting on God and allowing God to strengthen him. As my Jim says, with both of us being in our mid-70s, we can figure that more of our lives are behind us rather than ahead of us. We also continue to experience that old age is more and more challenging. So if you need any advice, we've been there already. But we both trust that God can give us only that which is perfect, and we are in God's perfect plan. We pray that during this challenging pandemic, we will see many realize they are not in charge and turn to God through Christ Jesus for healing and strength, to believe and to be saved. With what we have learned from this study, we pray that all of us can see the deeper work of God all around us and in us, and we will continue to pray for God to use us as his disciples, witnesses to his work in our lives and in others, and be encouragers. We thank God that he is with us as we move forward in trust and love. My one word is, we stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day. Thank you.
I thank God that we, as a ministry, completed Bible study. I thank God for the messengers for their hard work to prepare the message. Verse 2, how long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? In the first chapter, the main message the prophet Habakkuk was trying to convey was coming to God in prayer and complaints in the time of despair and hardship. He trusted and loved God, but he could not bear the unrighteous word, the unrighteous. And it seems that God was silent. He cries out to God from the bottom of his heart, Lord, why are you silent? How long? Verse 4, but the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. As the answer to Habakkuk's prayer, God gives a clear direction how to live as the righteous. Righteous person will live by his faithfulness. People desire to live good life, but the evil world influences the people to go astray. During the Kingsgate Group Bible study, the report said that to live by faith is the content. Live by faithfulness is the process. To live by his faithfulness is to continue living by faith. Romans 1:17, a righteous that is by faith from the first to last. Life of faith is continuous, unchangeable, immovable. I confess that I can easily lose the points to love and serve God and God's people. Repentance and faithfulness, I can return to God and continue to remain faithful relationship with God. To live by faith and his right faithfulness is something I will have to try to understand and practice throughout the rest of my whole life. Lord, chapter 3, Lord, I have heard of your fame and standing of your deeds. Lord, repeat them in our day, in our time, make them known in rest. Remember mercy. Do I have experienced God? Have I experienced God's fame in this? Yes. God came for me when I was struggling with many issues about my life. By His grace, I came to know that I am truly a sinner without knowing God, and Jesus became my Savior. He called me to call the people to obedience and come from faith and live as a blessing to the world. God blessed me to have godly family with beautiful wife, faith, and healthy and independent children. I'm always thankful for Hong's family and my mother-in-law to serve God's ministry together. I'm very thankful with many friends to love and serve God through this world. And each time when I face troubles, God has heard my prayer to overcome and experience His grace. Most of all, God is my refuge, guider, comfort, and source of strength. Tonight, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. How timely and appropriate this is. In God, I have many reasons to be joyful. I rise up above all things happened and rejoice in all circumstances. Onward, live by faithfulness. I rejoice in God, my Savior.
Okay, thank you, Mr. and Peter. Ruth Kelly.
Hello. This is my testimony. Dear Father in Heaven, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to study the book of Habakkuk. It was the right timing to study this. Please give me compassion to those who are suffering and joy when I go through my own suffering. Let my heart be close to you and sing the praises of you my whole life. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Habakkuk starts with Habakkuk's complaint, but ends with his praise. His complaint was not based on his lack of faith, but based on his honesty before God. The thing is that he did end his complaint at the end, and he ended with the praise because of his trust and faith in God. During the stay-home period, I grew in a close relationship with my family, Caleb, and my friends. We are getting closer due to the circumstances. I pray that when we go back to routine, I will cherish the love we once found and continue to grow in affection to one another. Habakkuk questioned God as he was waiting for Lord's deliverance. He couldn't understand why the bad things happened to good people, why there was destruction and violence. Nowadays, my life is stable, and I may not experience what Habakkuk experienced. But I pray for the people around me because I care for them. People who experience sickness, loneliness, frustration, depression, or financial difficulty. My heart goes out for them because sometimes their situation is not what they can control. They can easily complain to God just like Habakkuk. What I can do is be there for them, pray them for them, and encourage them. On Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5, God answered and said, "Look at the nations and watch." As Pastor Russell summarized, that we need to look beyond ourselves, look beyond our condition, look at the bigger picture, not just our condition, but the overall condition around us. This is especially helpful when we have an inner struggle. I'm reminded that when my mom passed away a few years ago, I was so sad. And by reading the Bible book, How to Deal with the Loss, and class on how to make a glass, and the prayer support for others, they helped me to divert my attention to something else and help me to go through that in a healthy way. And that's the prayer I have for others. As Habakkuk continued to complain, he always come back with a positive attitude. In chapter 2, verse 1, he said, "I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see." He won't turn away from God. He will wait and see. When Habakkuk poured out his agony to God like Job, God answered him. God is a compassionate and merciful God. He won't let us go through the suffering alone. Even there's a suffering, but we are not alone. No one can explain why we have to go through the pandemic. And this is probably once in our lifetime. I believe God is a healer and he brings his people together. Together we can defeat the virus. Together we can rebuild our family and business. And that's so even though we go through suffering, I believe the best has yet to come. God answered Habakkuk with the five words in chapter 2. That shows his disapproval for the wicked and unjust. God is no way to tolerate that. Verse 2:20 says, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. One friend of mine from Toastmaster posted a story about a man asked God to fix all his broken pieces. God answered for him. God's answer for him was, God's answer for him was that he wasn't breaking. He was breaking through. There's a difference between breaking and breaking through. Sometimes my suffering is due to my own sin. Then I need God to break me through. He wants me to be silent so I can hear from him and wait for him. And I can let go the pieces that are not healthy to me and become the person he intends to create in me. So nowadays my broken pieces is that I'm too busy with different things. So I really need a quiet time with God. I pray that I may really set time in the morning to hear God's words and pray with him. On Habakkuk 3, he concluded with his sincere prayer. He stands in front of God with awe and worship. He remembers God's good deeds and his mercy. God's glory and splendor shine through the whole earth. Verse 5 says, plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. God sent the plague before he did the mighty things to set the Israelites free. God will do the great thing for us after the plague. He shook the earth, verse 6. And verse 12, he says, in wrath you stroke through the earth, and in anger you thresh the nations. Yet, that is not the end. Verse 13:8 says, you came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. I believe God is love, mercy, and just, as Habakkuk believed. And I want to adopt his attitude on verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. I was encouraged by Pastor Steve's message as he emphasized, rejoice is a choice of faith. Indeed, I'm the master of my own choice. I can choose to rejoice or choose to complain. I'd rather be happy in God's unfailing love, even that means suffering, than be sorrowful in my own futile thinking. Lord, I admit my shortcomings and weaknesses. Sometimes I have no strength to come to you, as I am too busy for daily assignments. But help me not to be like a mother, but be like a Mary. I love you, and I know how important it is to come to you in prayer. So please give me strength and vision to grow in the prayer life for your sake. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Ruth. All right, our next sharer, Habakkuk Reflection Sharing, is from Dongjin Kang.
Happy Mother's Day, everyone. The first two chapters of Habakkuk are organized around Habakkuk's prayers, or more correctly, complaints that the Lord and the Lord's replies. Habakkuk saw the rapid progress of Judah's moral and spiritual deterioration, which deeply troubled them. It is known that Habakkuk may have prayed as long as 12 years for justice. Yet God's response puzzled him even more, for how could a good and just God use a more wicked nation to punish a less wicked one? God makes it clear that both nations are to be judged and appropriately punished for their evil acts. Although Habakkuk may not fully understand, he has learned to rely totally on the wisdom and the justice of God to bring about the proper resolution in ways he could never have imagined. By the end of the book, Habakkuk is a changed person. He has learned to wait and trust in God, who works out all things for his glory. In the end, Habakkuk came to fully rejoice in God even in dark and difficult time, because God himself became his source of life, joy, and strength. As we began studying the book of Habakkuk, I came to realize how timely and relevant the context of the scripture is to that of global pandemic caused by COVID-19. Like a prophet Habakkuk, I questioned the character of God at first. Why would good and merciful God allow such a pain and toll on human lives by the death and economic shutdown? With my limited understanding of God, I could not fully understand the ways and thoughts of God. But as Habakkuk progressed to develop a sense of comfort and assurance in God, and later rejoice in God regardless of circumstances, I too began to see the good and faithful purpose God fulfills through this pandemic to ultimately refine our faith in Him and restore our broken relationship with Him once again. I spent time in solitude. God reminded me of His past grace and deliverance in my life. And thanks to stay-at-home order, I could spend more time in reading the Word of God, praying earnestly, listening to sermons, and spending quality time with Hannah through 40-day prayer devotional. Thanks to COVID-19, I was also able to see how much I put my hope and treasure in things of this world. When they were all taken away from me as a result of the pandemic, I realized God was not at the throne of my heart. Instead, I fill his rightful place with idols. When the source of sin was taken away, I realized how much of addict to sin I have been. For example, the sins to advance my career solely for my own glory. Sins of choosing to indulge in entertainment to fill the void during my downtime. Sins of filling my mind with busyness of school and gym to make me feel good about myself, or let my self-worth define by my performance. All of these sins were temporarily satisfying and could not fully fill the void in my longing and insatiable heart. When they were forced to come to a halt by COVID-19, I could finally taste the glimpse of God's ever-fulfilling satisfaction and eternal assurance for my salvation won by Christ Jesus. I learned that I can trust God, and with that trust comes great joy that is not predicated on circumstances, but in God Himself. Like my key verse, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will take joy in the God of my salvation. I thank God for opening my spiritual eyes to gaze upon heavenly kingdom of God and put my ultimate hope in Him. Father, thank you for bringing me onto my knee to recognize and repent by becoming aware of my sins and your holiness and goodness. And may your living word and Holy Spirit continue to restore your rightful place in the throne of my heart. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
What I wanted to tell about personal life, I also experienced with the Dongjin, the solitude. In the solitude, to restore the broken relationship with Jesus, with God, the Father. It is almost every Christian, I think, they are in those process of restoration. So in these very, very busy times. And I chose the key verses, the righteous will live by faith. It is very famous verse. And in the Romans also it was mentioned that the righteous will live by faith. And I thought about why did a COVID-19 situation occur at this moment. One of the things I reasoned was that many people lived with the motto that we live by money, or we live by insurance, or by muscle. But at this moment, totally people understand that we live not by sight and things in this world, but by faith. Also, we understand that we are very, very vulnerable and we are weak even before small, tiny, tiny thing, virus. So when I prayed, I understood one thing, that this virus is a wake-up call. And I remembered one verse in the Bible that Jesus told, "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Even the stones will cry out." And this moment, I think the virus cry out. The wake-up call is during the sleeping time, the ringing. So that people might wake up, I think, not just a normal, usual, the routine, but by in front of a very, very dangerous moment, not just by thousands of deaths, but by millions of deaths kind of things, I thought. So what is the wake-up call by virus to even Christians or non-Christians? There is the moment to have the silence, silent moment in solitude, in wilderness. Ironically, this is not the place, the house, home. Everybody has home. Home is a place of the moment of silence. And another thing I learned that about the sin. So virus is very similar with a sin. And many people think that sin is like a murder or the dishonesty or arrogance, hatred, or even homosexuality or abortion. But those are symptoms of sins. When I read John's Gospel 16:9, Jesus told, "In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me." So if a person does not believe in Jesus, that is a sin. Sin is a root problem. And the disbelief is a root of those problems. And at this COVID-19 moment, most dangerous people were person with asymptomatic infected. So those people with viruses, but there is no symptoms, they freely walk around the street and spread the viruses to so many people, especially vulnerable and weak or senior citizens. And there was a huge casualties. Likewise, if we do not know about sin, then we also like spread the sins around the world. If we do not try to be healthy from our sin, the core issue or root issue, that is not just the symptoms. When we fight against the symptoms, we will temporarily we can overcome or be healthy, but not it is not a deep-rooted solutions. So we need to restore the belief and trust in God and Jesus. So in this moment, several weeks, even several months, the busyness gone, and business stop, and busy things stop, and I could think about the things, what is essential, what is non-essential. So I learned a lot of new things in this moment. So anyway, it was very, very painful to see the sufferings and casualties. Heard the news, it was quite stressful. But during this moment, I also think that God also is so painful. He suffers also, but he wants to, it is like a kind of process of the operation mess to recover, to heal the invisibles, the things very, very, like cancers, or to restore the really important, essential things in life. Okay, I learned so those things, and thank God. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Matthew.
Many of you are saying right now in your hearts, how long, Lord? How long? So the key verse 2a, how long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Habakkuk was a professional prophet in southern Judah, pre-Babylonian exile. He saw the chronic injustices of God's people and wondered, struggled, complained, lamented, and cried out to God for answers. Together with a righteous remnant, he brought his deep and real spiritual struggles and questions to God. The Lord answers and tells him to write it down for the maturity, growth, and edification of all future generations of God's people. God answers in surprising fashion, exegeting the power-hungry culture and capabilities of the Babylonians. In detailed fashion, God spoke about their ways, almost in parallel ways as Habakkuk spoke about life, culture, and the practices among God's people. God himself looked and watched both his people and the likely wickeder Babylonians. They would be his instrument in a shocking way. Habakkuk questioned God based on his divine character as he wrestled with such a method and strategy. It did not fit into his theology or thinking about God and how God was supposed to be and act. The everlasting, eternal God is appointing them. Again, in his theology, God was too pure, unable to tolerate wrongdoing, to allow such a wicked beast to swallow up his people. Still, to Habakkuk, God's people were still more special, righteous, and deserving, even if it was a remnant for God to do such a thing. Still, in his questioning, he resolves to stand and watch, to hear and see God's further answers and response. Habakkuk also wanted to bring back something, some clear word of God to the righteous remnant he represented. In his message, Russell indicated four potential causes for such a lamenting complaint: prolonged struggle, lack of apparent blessing, emotional and physical stress, and enemies. I've been in a mild, long-term struggle with my diet, exercise, and weight loss, but much of this is due to my own long-standing bad habituation, willpower deferment, and overall lack of margin making for this important area of my life. Finally, the uphill rock pushing is moving. I've actually lost 25 pounds. Even though you can't tell, maybe you can see maybe a little thinner face. At church, there seems to be little apparent blessing in the area of campus disciple making. Also, in some ways, it's hard to see apparent fruit in our mission to make disciples of all ages. It may be that it's all a slow going process, but I feel some responsibility as one of the pastors to see that it is progressing and pushing forward. How long, Lord, before we sense a tangible revival in student ministry? How long, Lord, will our community resources be poured into a facility used only 3 hours a week? How long, Lord, will our worship service attendance linger in the 30s when the harvest is so plentiful? How long, Lord, will my family teeter from staying to moving or moving to a new house? How long, Lord, until campus ministries unite and reach the many unreached populations on campus? How long, Lord, will my heart continually break for the lost and unwanted populations of the fatherless urban poor? Russell also gave four things to do: prayer, looking beyond ourselves, listening, learning, and following, and believing God's promises. My time of prayer and praise have been lacking in this COVID-19 season. I'm very distracted and cannot long focus on much. My prayer life needs to go ahead of me with Jesus, or I'm bound to fail or proceed unwisely. I must keep looking beyond myself, but not so far that I miss my wife, my kids, my neighbors, friends, and family in the Toledo community right in front of me. As somebody who's gifted just in my human ability and somewhat through the Holy Spirit in teaching, time also comes instead to listen. I talk too much in most cases, though I have a hard time admitting it. The Uber conference emails reports speak for themselves. So every time after Uber conference, they email you the results and it shows how long each person was talking. I'm also not sure how COVID-19 is one of God's responses to all this. Does not fully make sense to me. Still, God's aim is to change and transform me. Lord, how long? Lord, how long to change my heart to be like yours, to change my talking ways to patient listening and the ministry of presence, to change my impatience, anger, emotional pettiness toward my family, to have your patience, love, and capacity to stay wide open-hearted in all. Lord, I believe in your promise to do greater things. I remember the vision I had and felt and believed you were giving to Susan and I for 318 trained disciples and even raising 12 regional chapters to 120. I will stand and watch. I will rest and yoke with Jesus. I'll be a watchman on the ramparts. One word, how long, Lord?
Okay, thank you for all our shares today. So we're actually going to go back to Greg's house in a second here to sing together hymn 445, Rock of Ages. Also, welcome to the Mile family. I see that you're on there. Next week, our messenger is Rocky Mile, so we look forward to that.
Let the water and the blood from thy womb and side which flow be of sin the double cure. Take from death and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow? Could my
right, we're going to sing our benediction. So if you want to stand, and the prayer has been answered. How long, Lord? Just about one more minute. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you everyone. Happy Mother's Day.